all goes well, we hope to show you a video, about 20 minutes, of some kirtan from the Cape Town Ravi Yatra, on the mango session. We've just completed actually a DVD on the whole festival, which should be available, I don't know, in a few days, maybe Ramnani or thereabouts. Very nice. But we have some footage, high definition footage of the procession. That's quite nice. So if all goes well, we have an electrical extension, looks like we do, yeah, with two pin facilities and all that. So just bear with us for a little while, and then we'll show you that. Yes, so what is our program then, otherwise?
We had some questions and that devotees would like to ask also.
Okay. We can try.
Okay. So I guess probably because we didn't send the pad around yet, but those people would like to ask some questions. This is our opportunity. I think this is we're fortunate in ISKCON that we have so many wonderful devotees around and coming and visiting us, so we can directly ask them some questions to personally assist us in our spiritual lives. So now would be our opportunity to ask those questions.
Maybe they already know everything. You're leading them so naturally. I can ask you a question. This is an interesting question. For some people it's extremely easy, for some it's extremely difficult. See if I can answer this question. What is Krishna's name? Anyone try? Try it.
Krishna.
Krishna. You'd be surprised how many people that can. Okay, well, you've got that plan. Well, that took a little while. You know, on Saturday night, we had a program at Park Rennie on the south coast of Durban. It's down near Scottsboro, Zinto. And it was a very nice program. It was a different program, at least the programs that I'm used to. We began by reciting a pastime of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, it was probably a number of you would know this one. The pastime of Lord Chaitanya meets Ramachandra Puri. You know that story? Some of you would know it. Some of you would probably not. So without getting into the story right now, but what we did was recited the story, which is a very interesting story, and while we are doing that, devotees acted it out. Yeah. It was very nice. I've done this, been involved in doing this a number of times. We did it in the GBC meetings. We had a spiritual retreat day. And they did Jagai and Madai. And, you know, well, it was only GBC members there, so no one else could see the truth. But the devotees who were Jagai and Madai, I must say, they were spectacular. They were just right to the point. So, anyway, this is something. Have you done that before?
We've done dramatic reading and
acting. And acting, okay, that's good. Yeah. So now we'll do some questions if that's what you would like. The material world is a place for the conditioned souls to reform allowed back into the spiritual world. But how will this happen if they cannot remember their past lives and actions and the reactions thereof? Well, we can try and answer this, give an answer. It's not so much whether a person can remember why they're going through some sort of difficulty, or whether they can't remember why. One of our devotees, I won't go into the details, but one of our devotees was locked up in jail a few days ago. I won't go into the details of that, but it happened. And the next one, they had to stay overnight in the cells, and the next one he had to be in the court. And he had his own cell in overnight. This is like luxury. Your own cell. The next day, though, when they were waiting to appear in court, he was just thrown in with all the others. Like, there were about 40 of them. And a lot of them were just hard, hard cases. And he said that as they were all sitting there waiting, there were two. There was one Nigerian Muslim and one, like, just some colored guy there. They'd never met each other before. They're just about to be hauled into the court for something and probably, you know, found guilty of it. But as they're sitting there, they started asking each other, "Oh, what you here for?" And they found out they were both drug dealers. So there they were waiting to appear in court, and they were striking out a big deal right there. Right there. But as soon as you get out, call this number, and, you know, I want this much of this and that much of that. And yes, so, you know, in those jails, this is one reason why the people involved in all the correctional services and justice department and all that, why so many of them are very frustrated, because they lock up some of the criminals they catch, they lock up, but they don't become collected. The vast majority, it's almost all, but at the least it's the, like, 90 or 95%, they go on to commit more crimes. And like we mentioned this particular case, in many other cases, when they're there in jail together, it's just like a networking facility for their ongoing criminal activities when they get out. Yeah. So in that way, they're hot beds, which are just producing more crime. Yeah. So, of course, they all know why they are there. They can all remember. You don't have to ask any of them, "Why are you here?" And then says, "Wait a minute. What was it?" "Oh, yes, I killed someone." Yeah. Everybody knows. Only too well. And a few become corrected. It happens. You know, first thing is, one of our devotees in Durban, in Phoenix, is like the chief of the police, the main police station in Phoenix. And he was saying that of the crimes reported, they solve, you know, they catch the people in maximum 5%. Maximum. And he's, you know, a seasoned policeman. Maximum 5%. small fraction end up in jail. A few of them become corrected. So, you know, this whole idea that if people know why they are being put through something, then that, you know, that they're necessarily, that it's necessarily going to help them become corrected, this in itself is like a misleading notion. It is not really like that. It is not really like that. Otherwise, you know, the people who have cancer would stop smoking. But they generally don't. They generally continue and go down in a puff of smoke in the air. But, see, the main point is not so much if they remember, but the point is more if they get shaken up strongly enough, then they may become corrected. This is what happens, or happens more. Like in these countries where they have the death penalty and very severe penalties, then the crime levels are much less. Much less. Yeah. So really the main thing is that people go through the experience and they get battered enough by the modes of material nature. And then, as Srila Prabhupada said, human life begins when people question, why am I suffering? In a fundamental sense, like the whole situation. This whole situation I'm in, how can I get out of this suffering? So, yeah. So this is Maya's game, is to give people a hard time. And on the other hand, it's the devotee's business to offer people the opportunity, the alternative. So when they start becoming sober, seeing that the whole situation, whichever way I turn, I'm not getting happiness, but rather it's a great struggle. Then they may meet the devotees, and then they realize, this is it. Then they get a new lease on life. Or even some people, they may not be suffering, but they get at the association of devotees, and then they realize that this is very wonderful. But these are some considerations, at least, in these regards. Not so much just a matter of whether we can remember or not. What is the best thing to do when chanting? To try to remember Radha Krishna Lila? Try and remember the meaning of the Maha Mantra? Just focus on hearing the mantra attentively? Pray for the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet? Watch TV if your mind is wanted. Well, you know, in a sense, in principle, at least, I mean, this is a multifaceted subject. It may not be quite so simple that you just say, you know, do this and that's the answer. There are various other sort of Krishna-conscious alternatives, but we, by strongly pointing to the one, we are eliminating the others. It may not be quite as cut and dried as that, but consider, when you are doing some complicated thing, or like when you are driving through Johannesburg at rush hour, then what should you do? Should you, you know, if you're one of these people who has a DVD player with screen built into your motor car, there are a few devotees like that, should you watch your DVD? Krishna conscious. Oh yeah. Krishna Leela. Prabhupada lecture. Should you watch that as you drive through rush hour Johannesburg? What should you do? Well, you know, generally, when we have some service, we should give our best attention to that service and do it, you know, like as meticulously as we can, and really, you know, try and get it right with all attention to detail and, you know, like this. You get some things you can do, and if you become very experienced and very expert at them, then you can kind of do them, not exactly automatically, but, you know, something like that to some degree. Like cooking. Some devotees are very experienced in cooking. They can cook, and while they're cooking, they can have a lecture playing. Some Prabhupada lecture or spiritual master lecture playing. And they can be absorbed in hearing it, actually. Really into it. But they're also doing the cooking nicely. Others, you know, if they're not so expert, then they can't really do that so much. And that applies with a number of things. So with our chanting, you know, as a general rule of thumb, it's a good idea to give our full attention to the chanting, to the uttering of it, keeping our consciousness on that, to the hearing of it, keeping our consciousness on that. That's a very good idea. You know, there is a type of sequence as one's chanting develops that, well, name, form, qualities, pastimes. What this means is that if you chant really nicely and your chanting comes to a high level, very advanced level, then through that chanting you will spontaneously realize the form without making some particular extra endeavor that I am chanting, but now I'm going to think of the form while I chant. But the form will just come into your mind. Yes. Spontaneously. And the chanting will continue. And it is not that now that the form is there and now you're becoming absorbed in the form and going deeply into that. It is not that your consciousness will now leave the chanting. But there will be like an expansion of consciousness. So the chanting will remain completely there, no less. But the form will also be there. And then, as you become more absorbed in the form, then you'll start to appreciate the quality. Beginning with the beauty, and then, like, maybe the fragrance, and so on of the form. Different qualities. And then, but then, as that happens, it is also not that your absorption in the name will decrease and you'll start sort of forgetting about the name and just become absorbed in that, but there'll be an expansion of consciousness and your absorption in the name will remain, will actually increase, in fact, will definitely increase. And then gradually it will all come to life instead of, you know, perhaps being a sort of static experience of the form and the quality, like in a single picture, which is just, you know, two-dimensional picture of something. So, but it will all come to life. And Krishna, the form, with the qualities, will start acting, and the qualities will be displayed in the pastime. But even when that happens, it is not that the, you know, the experience, the whole absorption in the name as such, will decrease. You get the idea? Everything will expand further and further. This is Krishna consciousness. But then on another level, so anyway, there are statements by Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta where they emphasize trying to hear and chant. When we're chanting, we should try and absorb ourselves like that. If you're trying to hear and chant nicely, but your mind, you know, is having one of those days. I don't know if any of you ever have one of those days. But I think some do. And it just won't get into it like you would like to. Even though from time to time you notice and you tell yourself, this is no good. We must focus here. But then, you know, 1 minute later you're off in some sort of internal space. So, you know, then, like I said, this is a very multifaceted thing. I wouldn't claim to be able to cover the whole subject. These are just some elements. Then, certainly, if you perhaps look at a picture of Krishna while you chant, or the deities, that may help you focus more again and get more fixed in the whole overall experience. Even Srila Prabhupada liked it that the pujaris in the morning after Mangal Arati, they would dress the deities in the temples as quickly as possible so the curtains could be opened as quickly as possible so the devotees could chant in front of the deities. Yeah. You know, but to sit there chanting and your mind is sort of, you know, whatever, not exactly into it, and just sort of then just try and remember some pastime or something like that, can also be a place for that. You know, in my experience or whatever discussion with other devotees, generally the idea which sort of comes to the forefront the most in this type of situation is the idea of, if you can really become absorbed in the sound vibration, in producing it properly and hearing it properly, so it really goes deep to the heart. Because you know what they say, Harirnam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatira Nita. That one must chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There's no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve the goal in Kali Yuga. So we should really try and focus and cultivate, develop a taste for the names like this. It's a very important thing, actually. So that's something to think about. Like I say, I don't claim to that I answered the whole thing completely, but I think these are some very important elements. It seems that demons are more fortunate than devotees, as they get the Lord's association easier and without asking for it. For example, Ravan got Lord Ravan's association while the citizens of Ayodhya were drowning in separation. Krishna left the gopis and Kamsa got his direct association. Mother Sachi was in separation from Lord Chaitanya, while Jagai and Madhe got the association and shelter of the lotus feet of both Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Please explain this phenomenon. Hey. Maybe we should change our focus. Well, you know, there are demons and there are demons. Ravana, Kamsa, Jagai and Madhe, they are like, in the fourth canto is the story of Maharaj Quintus. And because it's a long story, but before he appears, am I right? Yes. Vena was there, isn't it? Before. Yes. So Vena, he was a demon. He was a demon. And he did, you know, he did all the things that the other demons in the Bhagavatam do, harassing the devotees and outlawing worship of God, trying to introduce worship of himself, all these types of things, and enforcing all these things ruthlessly and viciously. But when he was killed, by the Brahmins, by a curse. He went to hell. He didn't go to back to Godhead like Ravana or these other people. And Srila Prabhupada discusses this point, that people like Ravana or Shishupal, who was Ravana actually in the next lifetime, they went back to Godhead. They were demons. They were killed, they went back to Godhead. Because they were exclusively absorbed in thinking of the Lord in a demoniac way, in hate. Shishupal, right in the beginning of the seventh canto, there's very interesting description. Narada Muni is speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And this is just after Shishupal was killed by Krishna, and everyone saw his soul enter the body of the Lord. So then Maharaj Yudhisthira turned to Narada Muni and asked, how could this happen? This man was such a demon. And one thing Maharaj Yudhisthira says is that this Shishupal, even in his childhood, in the broken language of a child, means before he could speak, just baby language, in the broken language of a child, he was only saying things against Krishna. Only. Nothing else. He never spoke of anything else. And then Krishna, and then something else, and then Krishna. It was only Krishna in a mood of hatred. But in regard to Vena, who was, you know, a demon, I think he would make George Bush or his late sort of what? Anyway, parallel. On the other side, Saddam. He would make them look like Sufis or humanitarian philanthropists, Red Cross, that sort of thing. Vena, but Prabhupada says that even though he was definitely a demon and a very, very severe demon, but he was not that fixed like Ravana, like Shishupal. He would think of other things. He had other interests. Whatever, it doesn't say what they were, but maybe his family and his this and his that. And he had other interests. But these people, they had no other interests. They simply hated the Lord. And at every moment, in different ways, they would express that and manifest that. So this is the difference. Now, to become a demon like that is not so easy. You know, to focus your mind on anything is not so easy. When I say focus your mind, I mean exclusively. I think we should turn it up.
Is that it? The noise won't get worse, but well, my voice will get a little louder. You know, you may love or whatever, be very, very, very attached to your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. You may be very, very deeply attached like that. So that if that just if one of them dies, it's just like just an incredible crisis in your life. But if you examine your consciousness through a day, through a week, through a month, through a year, you think of many other things. Even though you may think of that person, whoever, more than anything else, but actually you think of many other things. So to become exclusively attached to anything or anyone is not so easy. And it is easier, in the sense that it is nicer to become attached in a positive way. When you become attached in a negative way, like these demons, then, you know, there are many side effects, detrimental. You know, it's painful to you. Like Kamsa mentioned here, he was thinking of Krishna always, 24 hours a day. He couldn't forget. He would lie down to sleep, and he couldn't sleep. He would just hear this booming voice, Krishna, 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 the whole night. And he would try to stop. I must stop thinking of Krishna. I must stop. But he couldn't. And he went somewhat mad. He became quite mentally imbalanced as a result. Yeah. So it's not so easy. And you know, if you get into hating someone, I don't know if any of you had that experience, someone does something, somehow you just get into a severely negative state of mind, then it has many effects on you. You become depressed, and you become disturbed in different ways. It may even affect you physically. But if you become attached to someone positively, and particularly if you become attached to Krishna, because there's unlimited facility for becoming attached to him in unlimited ways, then it's very nice. So therefore, better to become attached to Krishna positively, actually. Yeah. And then even these demons, there's a discussion about these demons, Jiva Goswami, about these demons who are killed by the Lord and they get impersonal liberation. Impersonal. And Jiva Goswami is discussing this. And he says that people may think that they're getting a good thing. Like the devotees. The devotees get liberation. The demons get liberation. Different types, but they're liberation. So you may think, oh, look, the demons, they're doing very well. But Jiva Goswami, he discusses this, having just finished a discussion about how impersonal liberation is like hell, based on Prabodhananda Saraswati's statement, Kaivalya Narakayate Tridaspur Akash Kushayate, famous words of Prabodhananda Saraswati. That the devotees are not interested in anything other than serving Krishna. Kaivalya Narakayate, they regard impersonal liberation as Narak, hell, and heavenly planets as being like Akash Pushpa, flowers in the sky, ethereal flowers. There are no flowers in the sky. So it means just hallucination, actually. And yeah, that they don't enjoy so much when they're impersonally liberated, and then they fall down again into material life. So his conclusion of the discussion about will perish. And what do they deserve? They deserve hell. So actually they get it. But in the guise, like it's something nice. Impersonal liberation, many people think it's nice. The idea, at least, is nice. So you get the idea. Yeah. Yeah. So let's not follow in the footsteps of Kamsa. All of these people. Let us carry on trying to develop positively in Krishna consciousness. When should we stop? Well, I don't want to keep everyone here. Because we're going to show the thing, right?
Yeah.
Which is 20 minutes. It's now 8:15.
It's been gone until 9 at least, right?
Talking?
No.
The whole thing?
The whole thing, yeah.
Okay, till 8:30 then with this stuff. Is that okay?
Yes.
Prabhupada has advised that there is no question of trying to serve Krishna directly. Rather, we should aspire to be the servant of the servant. What is the reason behind this? Well, it's not just Prabhupada said that, but Lord Chaitanya said, and many people have said. In fact, Jiva Goswami, we just mentioned Jiva Goswami, he says in Bhakti Sandhava, it's a very nice statement. He says, serving the devotees is a better way to develop love for Krishna than trying to develop love for Krishna. Yeah. Serving the devotees is a better way, more effective way, of developing love for Krishna than trying to develop love for Krishna. So why? Well, you know, point one is, here we are in Indonesia, in the material world, and, you know, with all due respect, I don't think any of us sitting here are really that qualified in Krishna consciousness. If any of you are, please let us know. We will immediately surrender to you. But otherwise, I think we have some way to go. It may even be a fair way to go, actually. We're not very qualified. And, you know, it's something like someone is trying to learn how to play a musical instrument, like the piano, like the guitar, and they want to become the next, you know, I don't know who it is these days, but in my day it was Jimi Hendrix, he was in a class of his own, and they want to be recognized. Yes. Here he is, the guitarist, Mr. X, the latest. But, you know, all they can do is sort of fumble around a bit. And, you know, they can play something, then they make some mistakes, and then they get into it. You know, so who's going to really want to listen and sit there and listen to that? Particularly when, well, of course, Jimi Hendrix is late. Particularly when, you know, you've got all these experts around. Who is going to want to sit and listen to someone who's really, you know, like 10th class? Nobody. They just will not bother. So Krishna is surrounded by devotees. And many, many, many. And they're just such incredible devotees. Not just in a technical sense, like playing a musical instrument. But they love Krishna so deeply that Krishna becomes totally, totally enraptured in his relationships with them to the exclusion of everything else. This is why he expands into other forms and deputes other people altogether to run the material world. Because he has got his hands full with Srimati Radharani, and even her, would just one would be enough. But there are so many. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, in the close group of gopis, there You know, I would imagine the least of them is at least 100 times or 1,000 times, I don't know, but really a lot more of a devotee than all of us put together as devotees. Really. So, Krishna, he is just so absorbed in that. And here comes, you know, me or you from ISKCON, Malaysia, knocking on Krishna's door. Here I am. I'm from the Mayapur youth group. You know us, right? And Krishna says, the who? Well, I mean, he knows. I'm sure he knows. But, you know, if you really want to get Krishna's attention, you know, you can't go in and say, yes, here I am, Krishna. Yeah, I'm not chanting my rounds. I mean, I've tried to chant my rounds, but sometimes I leave a few over. I generally try and catch up with them. And, you know, occasionally I watch Bollywood, but I'm not into Bollywood. No. I like to be Krishna. And, you know, I've got my girlfriend, but I'm not really interested in her. I'm more interested in you. You get the idea? Our interest, our sort of span of attention may be, you know, not exclusively focused on Krishna. We may actually have, at least in the back of our minds, maybe even in the front somewhere, we may have some other interests. Yeah. We may actually have some other interests. At least we may sometimes entertain some other interests. So to just make just sort of gate crash on Krishna when he's surrounded by the 3 billion gopis and make your way through that group to reach Krishna. But the thing is, if you can get the attention of one of those close associates and somehow by the mercy of that close associate, accepts you, that all right, even though you're a bit of a fool and a rascal, but we'll give you a chance. And then takes you and presents you to Krishna. Here, Krishna, look. Here is such and such Das or Dasi from Lanesia. You must accept. Prabhupada, there's a lecture on Radhastami. Prabhupada says exactly this. That if Radharani, somehow you can be accepted by Radharani, and she presents you to Krishna, and she tells Krishna, Krishna, in Lanesia, there is one very nice devotee. His name is, what? Chaitanya Das. And Radharani tells Krishna, I want you to accept him. Krishna immediately says, yes, right. And he doesn't. And Prabhupada says, you may actually be fallen rascal number one, but on the request of Radharani, Krishna will actually accept you. So, this is the idea. Become servant of the servant. And in our case, well, you know, Prabhupada, really. Of course, our spiritual masters, current spiritual masters are there, and there are quite a number of very senior devotees who are very nice, very wonderful. And they're also very important. But we should also, Prabhupada must be in our lives. Because he, you know, actually, the fact is, amongst those who we know, like we have had association with, he is really, really very, very special. And others, of course, they can help us. Very senior devotees, they help us connect with Krishna, connect with Prabhupada. And if we Palamide. And then certainly by his mercy, and you know, those who are very close to him, if they then tell Prabhupada, look, Srila Prabhupada, in Manesha, there's one very nice devotee. His name is who?
Ishan.
And Srila Prabhupada, please accept him. Then Srila Prabhupada, he'll agree. And then he'll present Ishan to Krishna. This is how it works. So then Bhagavad Chaitanya said, Gopi Bhatu Parakamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. There's a subtlety there. Servant of the servant of the servant, yes. But Lord Chaitanya, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking, he doesn't say, Gopi Bhatu Parakamalayo Dasa Dasa Das. He says, Gopi Bhatu Parakamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. There's Das, but now he's saying me. I'm not Das, I'm Anu Das. Anu. Anu is the Sanskrit term for atom, the smallest piece of existence, which cannot be divided further. Yeah. Little servant. Not big servant, like, you know, the servant. The team, the little servant, who's under the shelter of the servants, the big servants. So that's us. Gopi Bhaja Pada Kamalaya. Dasa 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 Anu Das. Like that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, okay. Thank you for listening very patiently. I don't know if it was helpful, but anyway, we tried to do what we were asked to do. So let us now try. We have to pray to Krishna because sometimes these machines have minds of their own. But we will try now to take you to Cape Town. How many of you were there for the Rath Yatra? Aha. Okay, right. Yes, a few of you were there. Anyway, even if you were there, I think you'll find this interesting. And I think you'll see yourself. So let us set it up. It will take a few minutes. Perhaps someone could sing some soft kirtan for a few minutes while we set it up. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.